From Acts chapter 12, dear friends who have not just heard about the resurrection but have sensed its power in our lives. Have you ever been in a predicament? Maybe it was an ill-advised decision you made that really got kind of ridiculous. I mean, sometimes it's almost downright funny to see what animals will do to themselves. They stick their head through like a fence and they can't get back out. And then they get really agitated. Or if you've ever seen an animal that gets all twisted around in a tether, they can get hung up in ways you didn't think were possible. But it maybe takes a little turn when it's an infant, a child. If you think animals can get into predicaments, think of those curious little Georges. They go anywhere and everywhere. You'll find them on top of a refrigerator and hopefully not face first down a well. You find them in a place where they ask the question, how am I going to get out of this? Sometimes the answer is, you aren't. You got yourself into it, my dad used to say. But sometimes it was my dad that helped me get out. You see, sometimes it's because of a sinful decision. And sometimes there's a tough situation that we're going to face that feels like a prison. You know, the real question I would ask you to examine is not how am I going to get out of this, but how is God going to get me through this with His blessing and to the glory of His grace? You know, it's not always knowing how He's going to do it that really is the important. That's the second thing. The first most important is knowing that He will. The Lord will break these chains. And we're going to look at several of those in circles around us, chains that hold us, both on the outside and on the inside. You'll find an insert, the bulletin here. You'll see that there are 2 points. Sometimes people will try to figure out how long the sermon is by how many bullet points I have. Our time is spent in prison for a specific purpose. Now, when you understand that, you'll realize that we are already in a grace-filled position. Have you thanked the Lord lately that you are not in the point of persecution like these, the early Christians were? Have you thanked the Lord that even when you are in tough circumstances, that He is always there? Have you even begun to understand what it must have felt like in that generation as they would bring the sword to one of the 12 and kill him, and then be so enraged, incensed, encouraged that they grab Peter and throw him in prison with the intent to do the same. I tell you, there's something really to be thankful for, and that's when we are given the opportunity to profess and proclaim the name of God, and maybe even when we watch and give testimony that He releases us from the chains. So we see their trust in Christ and we thank the Lord for this story. Satan was hard at work to try to get them away from their devotion. The word of the Lord was beginning to spread. No doubt about it that there were bolder servants now. Not just the 12, but the people believing were now coming outdoors. They were telling what happened. They were saying, we have seen, we have touched Jesus. He's alive. And you know, it meant that there was going to be a conflict and an intervention. Have you ever noticed how Satan will use sometimes the government to try to deflate that devotion? And I'm not talking right now about today. I'm talking about the Herodian family. They were in that position of being tooled by Satan to get after the Christians and persecute them. And it had become a legacy. Remember that Grandpa Herod was the one that had chased Jesus with a sword. And since he couldn't find him, he put other babies to death in Bethlehem. And they would take off John the Baptist's head. And now he had already killed James, the brother of John, the one of the three that was always with Jesus was gone. So when Peter was seized and thrown into prison, this was not a small episode in the history of the Christian church. This is huge. And God is going to show us that their intent was to kill the cause, to kill Christianity like they killed Christ. But we watch when God opens the chains and the doors and He delivers. Herod had heard a lot of these strange things happening. He had wanted to see miracles. Jesus wouldn't show it to him. Remember? But he had already found that it was difficult to deal with. He had already put the 12 in prison or in jail, and they had already been released. So this time he was going to make sure, wasn't he? Did you hear that in the text? 1 Peter, how many guards? 4 squadron of 4 each, 16 guards. That's a little overkill, you might say, but he was going to get the job done. And he was going to make this the pinnacle of their celebration. Let's get through Easter. Their Easter was Passover. Let's get through the event, and then we'll put him in trial, and I'll get even more mileage out of all these people being here, hearing that it's over. So he had Peter arrested, thrown in prison, guarded, and we might even surmise that he was chained directly to 2 of the soldiers. He was at least lying down between them. So when we talk about what Peter might have thought was going to happen and what God would do, you can see the difference, just like with us. Peter had plans to proclaim the gospel now. He had been emboldened on Pentecost to proclaim to the crowds. Many had already turned. He was watching God, the Holy Spirit, work. He was confident that Christ was alive and directing. And yet, his plans completely turned on their head. Here he is in a prison in chains, and he's facing not just torture, but very likely death. And I think to myself, what a difference that was in Peter. Take a look at that in just a moment, because God was going to free him with an intent, a purpose. This last week I was reading devotions. It happened to be from Mark Jeske, Time of Grace, down at St. Marcus, downtown. Pastor Jeske was saying how almost every single one of our iconic leaders, that means big leaders like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, they faced a great deal of hatred in their lifetimes. And often were not noted to be so great until after they were gone. He even then talked about how he changed his opinion on Martin Luther King. See, St. Marcus is a cross-cultural ministry. Pastor Jeske had a lot to learn. That even God had used Martin Luther King to proclaim the truth. Because he said, I never really understood what he stood for. But then he quoted Martin Luther King as saying, you will never drive hatred out with hatred. Only love that comes from above. And he said, you'll never get rid of the darkness with more darkness and sin, but only with the light and the forgiveness of Christ. Wow. To this day, I think there has so much yet to be learned, right? About one another. And when you hear that, you hear that God's purposes are greater than ours. And Peter had come to understand the chains really weren't holding him. It was a chance for him to give glory to God. So what are the chains that are holding us? Well, some are on the outside and some are on the inside. On the outside, we might be afraid of a coworker who makes fun of our cross, who might make those comments that make us want to crawl into a shell and not testify about our Christianity, our faith, our going to church. Maybe it's a bully. It has made our life miserable at school. And I'm not even sure who I am. I want to withdraw and pull back. So there can be external ways in which we feel like we're imprisoned. We cannot blossom because of some outside pressure. And Peter had chains that we probably will never have. But then again, aren't there self-imposed chains? chains of the sinful nature from within. The doubt. The doubt that I'm good enough for God or I have any role or purpose, when we do, every one of us, are a part of the body of Christ. Those days of depression. You see, sometimes it's possible that even those who serve God can spiral down. They can get lost in the darkness. It becomes a chain. And their inner dialogue or habit, we prayed for release from sins of habit and sins of choice, their habit has become one of low self-esteem when we have been given the forgiveness of Christ, Christ's esteem. You see, it might be ignorance of God and His way, His will, His mercy. But then again, if it isn't there, it swings to the other extreme and we have pride and arrogance. I taught the contramans a new word, conceit. Where we think it's us who are going to handle our problem. Do you realize? We're in prison of our own making. So as you look at the outline, we see that sometimes the most restrictive chains are the ones we don't even see. And when we go back into the Word, a text like this can teach us the angel is just outside the door. I really want you to see the purpose that Peter was given and then the timing. It's even more dramatic because God has everything in control, not just for His intent, but for the perfect outcome. So our chains will be removed at a specific time. Note that the church had not gone to sleep. He comes out in the middle of the night, knocks on the door, and they are praying. And what had he been doing? Here's the marvel of the new Peter, the new confidence. The one who had drawn a sword and was going to charge forward on his own strength was, how is God going to get me through this? He was even kind of dazed, wasn't he? As he came out of the prison, it was like, am I just seeing a dream? It was almost until he was left alone and the angel was gone that he realized, whoa, I guess my prayer and the prayers of the church have been fulfilled now. And what's amazing about that is that he had been sleeping. The one who was such an agitator or agitated all the time, impetuous, and the one who was going to take the steps instead of fighting the chains, had learned to sleep in peace. I find that amazing, but I also find it exactly the power of the resurrection in my own life. When I look at the chains, I get like a wild animal and I fight my way out and wonder how am I going to get out of it. When I looked at the empty tomb, I am calm and I can go to sleep. There was a pastor who got it right in the face. After a sermon, his parishioner walked forward to him and said, "Pastor, you always put me to sleep with your sermons." The pastor was a little miffed. And he was trying not to show his agitation. And it got worse because he said, "Well, you know, that kind of sounds a little not so spiritual. What did you mean?" And the man smiled. By now, he could hardly restrain himself. It's like, not only does he say this to me, but he's kind of thinking it's humorous. And then he put his hand on the pastor's shoulder and said, "Oh, no, I didn't mean here. I meant at home, in bed, at night. When I leave here, I have had such a good dose of the gospel and the good news that I go home and I sleep. You see, Pastor, it hasn't been that way through most of my life. I've been agitated. I can't sleep. And your sermons help me to go to sleep in peace." You see, God can seem awful slow. I know Peter would get, he would get in that hurry-up mode. And it would almost seem that God was languishing in His response to their prayers. But then there's perfect timing. The soldiers are snoozing away. You can hear their snores as the angel says, "Quick, get up." I don't know whether it was divine quiet or whether it just was that quiet. Peter's chains fell off. He steps by the guards that were near him, by the second, the third guard, and out the gate. The city gate just goes whoosh open. Peter is still stumbling along when he realizes, wow, I'm free and there's just no way it couldn't have been a miracle. That's what our NIV headline says. Peter's miraculous escape from prison. So there he is, and he heads towards John Mark's house where the whole church is assembled. And there's another amazing thing that happens. They are there praying for Peter to be released, to be spared. And he's standing at the door, and they are so dense. Well, maybe they were just so engrossed in their worship. But when Rhoda says, "Hey, there's somebody at the door," she's the only alert one. All the rest think she's crazy. She comes running back in her way of being so excited. My wife's name is Rhonda. She goes by Ronnie. But whenever I want to get at her a little bit, this biblical story comes to my aid. I call her Rhoda. "Hey, Rhoda, slow down." You know, because Rhoda was so excited, she runs back. She says, "Peter's at the door, but there's no Peter in the house." So they say she's seeing a ghost. And then they hear the knock again when it finally quiets down. And somebody says, "We better go check." And there's Peter like, "All right, what took you so long?" And they are astonished. So you have on the outside Herod's prison. The external factors that tried to hold on to Peter. And in a way, Rhoda kind of talks about the internal. The church is praying, and you might ask the question, didn't they think their prayer was going to be answered? You know that we often are like that. We get into all these caught up ways of doing things that literally forget God. The Lord can release us from our bondage. He will, in one way or another. You see, He will not necessarily immediately send angels, even to release us from cancer or a doctor's appointment or pain. But He will release us. God allowed Peter to be mistreated, thrown into prison, persecuted, and to a degree tortured, if not physically, at least emotionally. And then he broke the chain. In the same way, whether it's an addiction or whether it's a fear, whether it's our habit of worry, the monsters, the big ones, of death and of Satan have been defeated. Easter shows us the power of God over any of our enemies, and the fetters of this life are going to be removed. We know that sin and death have been destroyed, so we know that these chains, the chain of this body that we struggle against, is going to be taken away. I felt it in close. The older I get, more people I have loved are on the other side. And I know that one day it's going to be just, I'm going to get tired. That there are so many that have gone ahead of me. Unless He takes me soon. And when He does, I am not going to at all be afraid that the grave can hold me. Because it has been already broken wide open. It's like an angel urging us, don't sit here, don't lay here in the grave. Get moving! Go on! To the better thing, because the chains cannot hold you. No chain can hold us. Even our concerns and our cares. Because He lives. Because He leads us. He loves us. Do you believe this? Then let's act and live in the resurrected Lord the way Peter and the early Christian church lived. To trust and proclaim and to give glory to the grace of God. How's God going to get us through this? Amen.